Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show. Clint Sterner's Football at 4.
Training camp number 5 is in the books, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not number 5. Training camp practice number 5 is in the book and books. And we got some immediate takeaways. Of course, Radio 610 team was in attendance. We rolled deep over there at training camp, and we got eyes on every field over there. We got about 8 guys out there. 8-9 guys out there.
A lot of us, everybody but Tyler.
That's right. That's right. Well, today it was a common theme over on the defensive side of the football for the linebackers to show up and show out. I mentioned this probably 3 practices ago, where the starting linebackers, what appears to be starting, I guess nobody has a starting position on this team yet, but Zach Cunningham, Christian Kirksey, and the nickel defender that would be the outside linebacker in passing situations, Desmond King, all of those guys stood out at practice in a big way. And then today, there were 3 interceptions, 2 of them that I recall would have been pick sixes, and they all came on underneath throws, and the interceptions were made by linebackers. They all came at the hand of Jeff Driscoll, by the way. So that's 2 straight practices where the 2 backup quarterbacks appear to be just giving the ball away. But the defense dominated once again, and more specifically, the linebackers absolutely stood out in a major way. Here's Nick Caserio on what the defense and what he's seen from the defense over the first 5 days of training camp 2021.
Specific to the defense, I think the effort has been good. We have a lot of guys that are getting to the football. You're starting to see some of the team speed show up a little bit. So, again, creating negative plays, it's not about one individual, one player. It's about a collective team effort. So it's the front has to do their job. The linebackers have to do their job. And then we have to get all 11 hats to the ball. But the communication has been good. There's been a lot of energy, a lot of communication. They've been able to get their hands on some balls here in the training camp, and you just hope that continues moving forward.
Show there's been the one thing about this camp to me is that those inside linebackers, when I say inside linebackers, I mean the Will, the Mike, and the Sam, the guys that are inside, not the corners, not the safeties, but the guys that are lined up inside. They may be flexed out to cover a slot receiver or a tight end. Those guys have made life very, very difficult for the quarterbacks, for the tight ends, for the running backs, and that's whether it's Kiki QT running a little option route. They're physical, and they're reading the pattern reading and formation reading and communicating in a big way for us to only be 5 practices in. Those linebackers as a whole have stood out in a big way.
No, they have, and I think the part about it that is most impressive to me, that makes me think it's not just that this is as much maybe scheme driven, is that it's not just the top guys.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yes,
It's the backups. It's, you know, we talked about this a lot. Well, you couldn't do a lot of stuff with the defense last year because of injuries. Well, you also didn't have good depth behind guys. We've seen it, these linebackers all flying around, from Zach Cunningham to Christian Kirksey to Pierre Lewis. I can't remember his first name for some reason. but Pierre Lewis and and Krugo Hill, whatever his name is. that guy. I mean, but all of them, all of the linebackers,
yeah,
from the starters to rookies. The kid from TCU has flashed.
Jarrett Wallow, he had a tip that turned into an interception today, yeah.
They've shown like, all right, they're right. All doing, yeah, things. It'd be one thing if it's just, all right, Zach Cunningham's one of the highest paid linebackers in the game. Yeah, he should flash.
Yeah, he's out there
but
wrecking
shop. But they're
all flashing. Yeah.
That's been the deal.
I agree. And they're all flashing from the standpoint of whether it's first or second string linebackers, or when it's, as I mentioned, Desmond King being in there as that nickel defender in passing situation, he replaces that outside backer. He's done some really, really, really good things. The pads haven't even come on yet. I mean, the pads come on this next practice, and when that happens, the linebackers could potentially take it to a whole nother level. But it's early in camp. I think the first week of camp, everybody's flying around, everybody's fast. But I think if you read through all the smoke and mirrors, I believe right now that the linebacker, the speed at linebacker, the experience at the linebacker position, I think all of that stuff plays long-term here for the Texans in a big way. The other thing about camp, the quarterbacks, I think today the quarterbacks were clean throughout for the most part until the very end. There was a couple of team periods at the very end where Tyrod Taylor started it off by throwing a deep post into what looked like double coverage, and then he held a couple of balls on back-to-back snaps, which would have probably resulted in sacks or busted plays. Davis Mills appears to be, I'd say it's overthinking. He didn't make any major mistakes today, but not overthinking, but just having trouble getting through progressions, reading what the defense is doing, and getting the ball out on time. Things are made to look a lot more difficult than they should, and they will down the road. He'll get it all figured out as he gets reps and everything like that. Nothing that you don't expect from a rookie or a guy that hasn't played much. But it was obvious today. A lot of late throws, and I'm not talking about like late over the middle interception. I'm talking about if you'd have just got through that progression and got to that in cut on the backside just a split second earlier, it would have been a very easy throw. It would have been a catch and run. But instead, you hold it. You try to drive it in there. It's bang, bang. And even when it's a catch, it's just more difficult than it should be.
Is that upstairs? Is that like you're in your mind so much, you're thinking through so much, and maybe you don't have a full comfort with the offense, and you're thinking so much instead of just, bam, making throws?
Well, it's just – it can be – look, it can be – and the inability to do it. It can be a lack of experience. Okay.
You don't think it's that, though? You don't think it's the
inability? I don't know. I don't know. Sean, I really don't know what it would be. When we only time will tell, right? I mean, we'll see how it all ends up breaking out for these quarterbacks. But, again, that's why the guy needs reps, is so that you can figure out, like, is this just a – I mean, is this a mental block? This kid just doesn't process very well? He's big. He's strong. He can throw the – he can make all the throws, but does he not process well? And if that's the case, then if that box ain't checked, you're going to have a hard time playing in this league. So, and then we get to Jeff Driskel, quarterback play. Jeff Driskel had a rough day today, 3 picks.
Not your fault, Jeff.
The linebackers made it really, really, really tough on him. And as it pertains to the quarterbacks, I think a big question mark out there was how would Davis Mills bounce back from a bad day at work on Saturday where he threw a ton of interceptions. I think 5 is the number I keep hearing. And it was, I think there was one in one-on-one. There was a couple in 7-on-7. There were several in team. It was a bad day for Davis Mills. Well, after practice today, head coach David Culley was asked about how Mills bounced back from that rough day Saturday.
Well, I thought he bounced back really well today. He did a nice job. And what that tells me about him is that he's not going to get rattled with things. We knew that. That's the demeanor that he has. He's that kind of guy. And, you know, we knew when we drafted him that we was getting a good, solid guy that pressure doesn't bother him. And for him to do what he did today was excellent. We expected that. And that's what they all have to do when that happens. It doesn't matter whether it's him or Tyrod or any of those guys. That's what they got to do.
Yeah, the minute that I heard that Davis Mills had a bad day, I said, well, here's your opportunity as a coaching staff, right? And really as a team, probably more importantly as a team, that teammate, is to see, okay, in the moment, what happened? We all get rattled. All youngsters get rattled. How do you come back to practice the next day? Are you, again, are you tucking your tail? Are you stepping on your bottom lip? Is it somebody else's fault? Or do you stand up, learn from the situation, and bounce back?
You're one of these crazy people where you kind of get turned on by moments like this. All right, you sucked. Now, no question. What's the next day you're going to look?
No question.
You're probably the guy that likes to see, oh, this guy started up the game 9-for-24, fourth quarter. Let's see how he reacts
in the fourth quarter. Ain't no doubt. Hell, that's the way it ought to be. I don't. It's easy to be a front runner. Oh, it's easy to be a good dude when things are going right. Yeah, it's easy. It's easy to lead, boy, when things are going good and you're 7-1 and you got 10 touchdowns and one interception. Well, hey, when Aaron Rodgers and them boys come to town, or when Pat Mahomes and them boys come to town, and you lose a tight game, you throw four interceptions, and people are questioning whether you're a Super Bowl contender. That's when I want to know. All right, what's the look in his eyes?
And then in his case, when you throw as many interceptions as you did, your first chance playing with the ones and against the ones, I want to see how you react.
Yeah. Look, I mean, the next day, today, to me, was one of those – and he didn't have a great day. I mean, today wasn't – like I said, I watched practice all day, and it seems like, whether it's 7-on-7 or team, it just seems like he's not seeing things as quickly as, like, Tyrod Taylor is, which is common for a rookie, but it's still the evaluation of a rookie. That's what's going on. He's not seeing – not processing things as high level as the veteran is right now. And the goal is to get to that level. And, you know – you could see those things today, but to me, it's all about what did the coaches see in his eyes? What, more importantly, what did the huddle that he stepped into today for the first time see in his eyes? And are they believing in that bounce back, if you will, or that his ability to handle adversity? I think this is specifically one reason. Why I think the young fella, the Texans need to get the young fella reps. Not because I think he's going to be a starter in this league. Hell, who knows? That'd be nuts to say that. The key is you want to see him in those moments. You want to see him in those moments when there's like legit quarterback adversity, and you want to see in his eyes and literally hear his voice and see how he handles it. And then that's how you gather information on these young cats. And I don't know if David Culley was giving his coach speak, or if that's just him, you know, what we thought he was going to say and backing his players or not. But when it's all said and done, that's how the head coach feels about it.
Wide 80.
Name, image, likeness in college football has officially impacted Texas high school football. South Lake Carroll quarterback and Ohio State commit Quinn Ewers has decided to leave high school early and enroll at Ohio State. And he did cite in the letter that he posted on social media that his decision comes on the heels of the Texas UIL informing the quarterback and his family that he would be prohibited from profiting off of his own name, image, likeness. So it didn't take long for this name, image, likeness and the athletes, but particularly football players and more specifically quarterbacks, to make money for it to impact Texas high school football.
It's already in high school, huh? Yeah, and you don't get the sense that this is going to be something that slows down. You would imagine that there are going to be a lot of high school players. Like, who was, when you were playing, who was the biggest high school player in the area that you think to yourself, oh, my God? Because I think let Vince Young be able to come out and how widely he was talked about, or Johnny Manziel and how widely he was talked about, would have been like they would have made what they could have done coming out of high school, starting in high school. This is going to be wild.
Mine was Odell James.
The hell is Odell James?
Odell James is a quarterback at MacArthur High School, Aldine MacArthur, 6'5", to throw it to the moon and back. And very, very Vince Young-like.
I was going to say, you sound like you're describing Jamarcus Russell.
No, he wasn't that big. He was more like Vince Young, you know, 6'4", 6'5", thin, but was everything coming out.
Where'd he go?
Baylor, for some reason.
Just start right away, I guess.
Well, he ended up with injury, you know, knee, I think he had a knee injury. I bet he didn't start 5 games at Baylor. But, yeah, he was the dude coming out. Injuries hit him in college and kept him. But, yeah, he'd have been He'd have made a little bread coming out of high school immediately if he'd have been if this name, image, likeness thing would have been out there.
All right, it's time to get a little nervous if you're an Astros fan, and it does not have anything to do with the weekend series. It has to do with the latest news that has come to the doorstep of the Astros. We'll tell you what that is coming up next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List, you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
Oh, God, Tyler, I hope you're going to be able to make it through this. Clint, former athlete, he's fine. He soldiers on through these things. Nothing bothers Clint. Clint's never nervous until the guy breaks his leg right out there.
That's right.
But I know Tyler's sweating bullets. Alex Bregman has had a hell of a day today.
Alex Bregman?
Alex Bregman, Sunday, Clint, he was pulled in the middle of the game with hamstring tightness. Oh, my God. All right, he's been out with hamstring issues and a quad issue. That's why he's been out for months.
Groin was pretty beat up in there.
Nope, just the quad and the hamstring. And so then now he gets pulled with a hamstring. And then they go, before the show, he's in the lineup, even though he was pulled the day before, but he's in the lineup, leading off, playing third base in Shooktown. Skit, skit. There you go. Way to be there.
That was great. Well done, fellas. Well done.
And then not too long ago, he scratched. They pull his ass. He's not in the lineup now.
What the hell is going on?
Clint, I can be a worrywart sometimes. I'm officially worried about Alex Bregman.
What are you worried about?
I'm officially worried that I don't know when he's going to come back. I don't know what kind of shape he's going to be in. We've just, for a minute, it's been, you got a lot of time. We got a lot of time. Hey, man, we are under 60 games now. And now he's coming out and he's done something to the other leg. Like, I'm nervous that you're not going to potentially see the Alex Bregman that the Astros need to have in their lineup for them to be World Series contenders like I think many people believe they are.
Yeah, I'm not quite there yet. I'm just – it's not that – look, I understand the concern for how long he's been out, for the fact that now it's the other hamstring. The biggest concern is like clearly there's something out of whack with Alex Bregman to where it's quad, hamstring, and hamstring. I mean, he's got – there's too many
– It feels like Will Fuller or something.
Yeah, there ain't no doubt about it. There's something compensating for the other injuries or – are causing more damage. And so hopefully they can get this thing figured out. So, I'm concerned of how long this is taking. I'm concerned that it's the other hamstring at this point. But I'm not concerned about whether Bregman will be back for, a playoff run, if you will. I'm not there yet. There's still a lot of baseball left in the season, several months left in the season for him to get back right. And so I'm just not ready to get overly concerned. I'm not overly concerned yet.
All right. Well, that's good for us, right? You know, we're not married or anything, but it's good when you have two different people where you can meet there. We were both worried warts would be an issue. 713-572-4610. Are you, like me, officially worried about Alex Bregman? Are you? This is where it comes from me. We talk to Tony Gwynn Jr. every single week, every Thursday, 3:35. Make sure you're listening on Thursdays. He is our Sports Radio 610 Odyssey MLB insider. Great, great information from him. But I remember hitting him with, well, who is the one bat, if you were opposing pitcher, who's the one bat that you don't want out of the lineup? This is what he said.
If you force me to pick one, I still think it's Bregman. When Bregman is right, hitting in that three spot, that team is a whole lot of problems to deal with. So many guys who offensively are just better than most. But for me, I think it's Bregman.
See, that's what I'm saying. Tony said it's Bregman. He's the guy. He's and many people think, even with Altuve as well, as great as he's been, another great weekend, but the best maybe all-around hitter, batting in the middle of that lineup at that three spot, from Tony Gwynn Jr., from Tony Gwynn Jr., it's Alex Bregman. And I do feel like with this lineup needing to carry you and this starting rotation, who is not as strong as it once was at the beginning of the year, you feel much better about the bullpen. But it feels like you need to have that Alex Bregman that you want to have. And when I see this, another setback, it makes me wonder, I mean, is he ever going to be Alex Bregman this year? When he comes back, is he ever going to be somebody who can just completely let it go? Is he ever going to be just unconfident, like have the confidence that, hey, I can go all the way out and not have any setbacks? So that's my concern when he is potentially your best hitter who you need to make a run.
Yeah, look, I think if you're asking me, am I concerned if this team doesn't have Bregman come playoff time? Yeah, hell yeah, I'd be concerned. But with as much baseball that's left to be played at this point in time, I mean, he's in Sugar Land. He's getting whatever kind of treatment that he needs. It's unfortunate there's another setback, but I'm just not overly concerned yet that he won't be ready come playoff time. I don't know what that time frame is. You know, you get down to where you're a month before the playoffs start, and these hamstrings are still acting up. Then I'm gonna be on a whole nother level of concern. But right now, I'm gonna pump the brakes a little bit and see what unfolds.
Tyler, where are you at? Are you with Clint or are you over here?
Man, I've been lying to myself and trying to act like this was no big deal. But with this latest news, the late scratch in Shugtown, I'm not good with it, man. I'm nervous. I don't like it. I don't like it because It is one thing to miss these regular season games and be out for an extended period of time, but we know how these soft tissue things go, man. If it lingers, and I mean, coming into the season when he put on that weight, this was a concern. You know, he was definitely thicker. He came in and worried about what that might do to his legs and his running, and it's not good so far. So I'm concerned.
Wow, look at him. Look in his eyes. I'm surprised he didn't just go with you. That's what I thought.
You don't think he's his own man? You don't think he has his own opinions?
Sometimes he is.
That's what you're saying.
Sometimes.
Ticket show.
Sometimes, but when he comes in here from about 1:30 to 6, he tends to lean more Clint.
I mean, smart.
Why don't you go in there and go fart together?
Or is why wouldn't he? Or is he Sis Dad?
He likes to be right, which we all do, and he knows that he's going to be, if he leans this direction, he's going to be right more often.
I think I agree with Mama Show semi-often.
Whoa. Wow.
Someone text in, I'm to the point where he's just going to be icing on the cake.
Whoa.
I'm just going to not expect him. I don't know if I would go that far.
Yeah, I mean, I like.
Because that ain't going to work. He can't just be icing it. Like, you need him. Like, I mean, I love Diaz, but my goodness, you need Bregman.
Well, I think when you look at what, like, the Dodgers did with Scherzer, I mean, you look at the way some of these teams are loading up. I mean, it's going to be – I mean, this thing's going to come down to your lineup being better than their starting pitching. I think once we get down to cutting time, if you expect the Astros starting pitchers to go out there and stand toe to toe with some of the best rotations in the game, I think it's a losing formula.
The great thing for the rotation is they know they have that edge.
That's it.
Where if they got to go out there and be perfect, I mean, listen, I mean you can talk about me like a dog with Framber. Framber, who's who his control has seemed to have just taken off on him. Like, you get him to a point where the pressure where he has to be fine and perfect. Like, one of the edges is I can come out here in a playoff game against the best of the best. I can give up 3 runs and I'm still good because our offense is so good. Like, if I could just hold him a 3-4, I could do it. With Bregman out, that changes it.
I think when you get to the playoffs, you're going to have to win a good chunk of your games. In order to make a run, you're gonna have to win a good chunk of your games because your lineup is so good, not because your starter went toe to toe with somebody. When I say somebody, I'm talking about these rotations that consist of 2 or 3 aces. I mean, guys that they can trot out there,
like
the White Sox, the Dodgers. I mean, these teams can trot a starting rotation out there that, man, you might not a normal old offense. I mean, offensive team may not score 2-3 runs in 2-3 games. Well, the Astros are going to have to win those games because their lineup that night proves to be better than that ace that somebody trots out there. I just don't think they're positioned to win a bunch of 1-0 games.
No. From the text line, it seems I'm being unfair accusing Bregman of being Will Fuller. And he feels very similar to that. Like, he seems to have here recently really had these lower leg injuries. Like, they just keep coming. I mean, this is what, both his hamstrings and now a quad in the last 2 years. Like, it seems to be something going on there with this lower half that he keeps running into to having issues there. So, Alex Bregman scratched from the Sugar Land lineup today. We'll keep you updated to see where he is. It is an interesting thing to monitor because he has not played in quite some time, and the Astros really, really need him to make the run they want to make. All right, have the Texans made a mistake already with their young quarterback, Davis Mills? Have they made a mistake? Clint, I'll tell you on the other side. That's next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Hosted host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
All right, Clint, let us know, because one of the big buzz over the weekend was Saturday. Davis Mills had a rough practice. He threw multiple interceptions. Five is what is being said. He threw five interceptions, and a lot of people are like, oh, God. And, in fact, people try to come at you, Clint. Oh, I wonder how Clint's going to spin this one. How Clint keeps seeing something that everybody else sees different with Davis Mills. All right, just explain to us, because a lot of this happened in red zone. A lot of this happened for the first time, him playing with the ones, because Tyrod Taylor had a planned absence. He was playing with ones, but playing against Justin Reed, Zach Cunningham at the ones for the first time. How big of a deal, from your vantage point, someone who's coached quarterbacks and played in the National Football League, how big of a deal is it in practice four of training camp that he has a day like this?
No, it's not a big deal at all. I mean, it's one of those deals that he's you want him to have in camp, and that he will have in camp the more run that he does get. It's a tough world out there in the NFL for a rookie quarterback. You know, any rookie quarterback, it's tough to go through an entire practice and not make any mistakes. And so it's not a big deal. In fact, it's not a surprise at all that he struggled. He will continue to struggle when the more reps that he gets in camp, and you just hope that he progresses, you know, as he moves forward, as we go through camp. You hope that the mistakes and the days aren't going to disappear. There's going to be bad days. But you just hope that the mistakes that he's making aren't repeated, right? You hope it's not the same mistake over and over and over again. In that situation, in the fourth practice for a guy in his first NFL training camp, for things to snowball in a negative direction is not uncommon, and it's not anything to worry about. In fact, it I think you'll look back on it as a positive, because now the kid's got a ton of film to learn from. The coach and staff and the team have the ability to see, okay, how did he handle adversity? How did he handle in the moment? How did he handle it? How did he handle it when he came back? How did he handle it in meetings? How is he when things are going bad? How did he handle that? So I think it's no surprise. I think it's one of those deals where things are never as bad as you think or as good as you think. They fall somewhere in between. And I think he and the coaching staff will look back on it probably as a positive down the road.
It's interesting, as you say, how does he bounce back,
yeah,
you know, from that performance? Because, you know, anybody who plays sports, and any of you even out there sitting around like Davis Mills had, anybody who's ever played sports or done anything knows, you're going to have a bad day.
Mm-hmm.
And the great ones and the good ones and the guys that survive, or women that survive, and whatever you do, means you bounce back when you have a rough one. So here is David Culley today talking about Davis Mills. Now, after that practice on Saturday where he struggled, to today, how he bounced back.
Well, I thought he bounced back really well today. He did a nice job. And what that tells me about him is that he's not going to get rattled with things. We knew that. That's the demeanor that he has. He's that kind of guy. And, you know, we knew when we drafted him that we was getting a good, solid guy that pressure doesn't bother him. And for him to do what he did today was excellent. We expected that. And that's what they all have to do when that happens. It doesn't matter whether it's him or Tyrod or any of those guys. That's what they got to do.
That's head coach David Culley, Clint. You were there watching him today. Is that what you felt? Did you feel like not necessarily in his performance. Did you feel, though, he didn't seem rattled off of
off the day he had.
Yeah, I don't think you can see that from the stands. Yeah. You know, I think that is, and I don't know if that's David Culley doing his best Dusty Baker and just supporting his guys and not throwing them under the bus, or if he's being legit. But the circumstances that he speaks of is I think what's important is that's the value in getting the young guy reps and having him go through some things, right, is that you can see how he handles it. So I do think there's a lot of validity to what he's saying. Now, I don't know. Again, I don't know how it unfolded. I couldn't tell. I can tell you today wasn't a good day, wasn't a bad day for Davis Mills. I think it was a rookie day. It was one of them days. Didn't throw any picks, but it was one of those days where there's plenty of film out there now to coach. It was good experience, and he's got to continue to get better. But I don't think from the stands we can see, you know, how somebody's responding to that quarterback adversity, if you will. I think it's the team could tell you. The coaching staff can damn sure tell you. And if he does those things that David Culley just mentioned, if that isn't just coach speak, and if he really did handle the pressure and the adversity really, really well, I think that's a notch in his belt, right? I mean, that's a feather in his cap, if you will, because that's what you want in your quarterback is a guy that can go out there and struggle for three quarters and then give you a chance to win in a fourth quarter. A guy that can go out there and when times are the toughest, you know, he bows his back and is still a leader. That's the guy you want out there, and you got to give them reps and to find those things out, whether they are or they aren't.
Is this the normal progression for a quarterback in his position where, hey, day four in camp, in red zone for the first time, like he's going to have struggles like that? Would you say this is a normal thing? Because you didn't seem to be surprised that he struggled like that.
No, not at all. I would be surprised if he went out there and did really well if he didn't throw any interceptions and threw six touchdowns and all the red zone work they did, and we're sitting here today talking about how great this guy did, I would be shocked. I mean, there's no question about it that it don't matter how many games you started in college, it don't matter, you know, what your numbers were in college, doesn't matter, you know, what necessarily your skill set is, when you're thrown to the wolves in a camp setting, the first week of training camp, and given reps where you're going one versus one, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to make big mistakes. And it seems like that's exactly what he did. I think those are, to me, I'm not surprised that he had a bad day at all. I think that's precisely why I'm really high on giving him reps, is to see – so he can see what it's like in the red zone in the NFL, right? So he can see the impact of, man, when you make one mistake and it compounds and it starts, the snowball starts rolling downhill and you don't steady your mind or you don't gather yourself, it can snowball and turn into multiple turnovers. Hell, if anybody knows that, it's me. I did in the second half, threw four picks in the second half against the Giants. I mean, it's you get in a spot where you're just like, damn, I'm just trying – then you start trying to make a play instead of just letting the offense work for you and let the defense dictate where you throw the football, how you distribute the football. If you got to throw it to Granny, throw it to Granny. You start trying to force things to work, and you start trying to push the ball down the field when it's not there, and you start trying to throw the touchdown in a window that you know you have no business trying to fit it in the red zone, and the problems compound, and he experienced that. And now you can go in there and coach him up on it, and you hope it doesn't happen the next time that he's put in those situations, the next time they get down into the red zone. So, you know, I don't know if it's common. I don't know how many quarterbacks around the league, you know, get that kind of run the first week of camp. How many rookies get that kind of run the first week in camp? But I know it's common for young quarterbacks to have rough days. I've heard 10 different times today, all over social media, that Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville apparently had a terrible day at practice today. Good for them. It's in practice. It's early in camp. And you get to see firsthand, hey, this dude right here is, he's a rock when adversity hits. He's steady Eddie. Nothing changes. We got a good one. Or you find out, boy, did you hear how shaky his voice was when he threw that third interception? So I think it's a great learning experience. It's precisely why I think the guy needs – a ton of reps in camp.
Clint Sterner, Ron, the show, as you're just jumping in, discussing, all right, how should Texans fans, how should people be reacting to Davis Mills having a five-interception Saturday practice, his fourth practice And here is where I would want to get from you is my thinking is this does seem like a natural progression for a third round pick quarterback, especially a third round pick quarterback who's had less than 15 starts in college. This seems like a natural progression. But to be fair, one thing that I know I've said and we've said is you got to look at him different because of the circumstance. The circumstance is you got to know what you got out of him. You want to know, is this a dude that will make you have to go into next year's draft and not draft a quarterback? Is he this good? And so almost should you be grading him at a different level than a normal third round pick at his age? That's my thought is, God, do the Texans need him to be further along than this? Is that why this is a bigger deal than normal third round picks, because they need him potentially to show more? Does a practice like yesterday slow him down from hitting the field sooner? Should he be further ahead than he is now?
I mean, that was the fourth practice of training camp. I mean, no, nothing's going to happen on day four of training camp that would dictate that this kid is, because he was a third rounder, is not ready to play or is or isn't ready to play. If he went out there and was lights out for 2 weeks, the playbook would still be a tenth of what it would be if Tyrod Taylor's out there. I mean, the mistakes are going to be through the roof, right? The offense is going to be very vanilla. I mean, it's going to be very run dominant. So it's going to be very conservative if he's in there. I don't think anything on for any quarterback on the fourth day of training camp, it dictates whether they will or will not be successful in the league. I don't know whether Davis Mills, and I've never said that he would be. I don't know that he's going to be successful or not. I don't know that he's ever going to be a starter for the Houston Texans. I have no idea. But I do think that it's possible, and I do think that pouring into that young man as much as they possibly can right now is in the best interest of the Houston Texans.
Are they doing that enough? Do you think
They're the Texans are actually doing, like, I would split 50-50 with Tyrod Taylor.
They're pretty close though, right?
Well, it's probably not close, but it's you know, from a rep count standpoint, hell, Davis Mills may be getting more, because Davis Mills is getting, I don't know, five or six down here with what you would call the two huddle, going one direction. And then when Tyrod Taylor's arm gets tired, hell, he comes over here and gets three, four, five reps with the ones. And so, yeah, look, I think they've gradually increased Davis Mills reps throughout camp. I think when we first started, he was on the other end the full time, you know, in one-on-one throwing with tight ends and running backs. Remember, Deshaun Watson was throwing to Brandon Cooks on that first day we were out there. It was Deshaun and Tyrod. Now it's Tyrod Taylor and Davis Mills in one-on-one. And Davis Mills is the quarterback going back and forth, and there's two huddles running. So he's getting reps with the twos and the ones, which to me is really ideal for what's going to happen, because Davis Mills is going to play with the two center. So he needs to be getting reps with the two center and the twos and second and third string guys on one end, but yet to fairly evaluate the guy, you want to get him a couple of reps with the ones down here. And so it really is a good situation now, to where Nick Caserio and David Culley, at the end of the day, I think they can look and go, okay, is this young guy trending in the right direction? Is he making the same mistakes over and over again? Is the moment too big for him? What should we do? I think they're getting plenty of reps on film of the young quarterback to decide what they should or shouldn't do with him. Absolutely.
All right, Clint Sterner, Ron the Show Hughley on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. And I'm telling you, man, we got a lot going on at Camp Caserio, baby. And starting tomorrow, Clint, we're exclusively giving away Camp Caserio tickets, baby. Your chance to win five times daily. Let me repeat that. Your chance to win five times daily, including two times within Clint Sterner and the show. Listen for the cue to call between 3:45 and 4. Between 3:45 and 4. And then at 4, between 4:45 and 5. And your chance to win Camp Caserio tickets. to the Houston Texans football 2021 Camp Casario training camp. Your Wait. Chance to win.
So we're giving away tickets
five
to
times
camp?
Daily on the station.
Man, I just had about 10 people hit me up on social media today after I posted a picture or something talking about, man, how can we get in? We want to go to Camp Casario. Here you go.
Here's your
There's
chance.
The answer.
Two times
I didn't know
on
we were doing
show.
That, man.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I tell you
You
what,
don't know everything.
If it ain't $1,000 or $100.
Well, speaking of $100, yes. Oh. Speaking of $100, your chance to win $100.
Hey,
remember, and it ends today. It ends today. Texans GM Nick Casario came right on this air, and he said, yeah, I'll hook you up. I'll give a listener $100 if they can guess how many transactions the Texans will have throughout the 4 weeks of Camp Casario. And guess what, Clint? They've made a transaction here in the last couple of minutes. Todd, didn't they add a long snapper?
Yeah, a couple of moves. Casario signed a long snapper and a guard. So that's two more moves piled on to the $1 million he already has.
I'm telling you. Mm. So you listen up. Go to sportsradio610.com and take a guess at how many transactions the Texans will make throughout the 4 weeks of Camp Casario. If you get it right, you instantly qualify for a chance to have the general manager, Nick Casario, personally hand you a crisp $100 bill. Registration ends when, Clint?
Monday night. That's tonight, baby. At midnight, registration ends. Get your vote in, man. Figure it out. And if you pick the right window of the number of transactions. By the way, transactions are defined by the league as any roster move, active non-football injury list, reserve COVID-19 list, cuts, trades, et cetera, et cetera. All you got to do is guess in that right window. There'll be several different options there for you to pick. If you end up picking in the right one, you immediately qualify for a drawing for $100 that'll be handed to you directly from Nick Casario tonight at midnight. Registration ends tonight at midnight, so go to sportsradio610.com immediately and get it in.
Texans give you that football feeling, baby. They give you that football feeling, man. Five times. We said starting tomorrow, five times daily, your chance to win Camp Casario. And some of y'all out there, I could see, you know, I'm even going to look at the text line. Who wants to go out there? Stop lying to yourself.
There's a bunch of people wanting to go out there today.
And you know you want to go and see this yourself. Many of you out there want to go see Deshaun and see what that looks like yourself. Many of you want to see how this offense, how these guys look. And they're putting on pads tomorrow. So that, like, this is coming up where you could run into that now and see the thing change. Many of you all want to go out there and see Nico Collins with your own eyes what he's looked like. So don't try to be prideful and act like, oh, I don't want to go see this. No, your chance. Five times daily.
I guarantee you this. Oh, boy. If you go, you won't never see nothing like this again. I promise you that.
I don't know
if that's necessarily what, you know, the draw right there that we want to be pushing out, but I'm telling you, you definitely will not see anything like this again. Never, you will never have an opportunity to see anything like this again. You got top five quarterback in this league taking a knee for 75% of practice.
You still can't get over that, can you?
No. Can't get
Friday when he was 35. When he was 35 yards off the ball.
I've never seen – the only thing more – I think that shocked me more than when I looked up and he was literally 35 yards behind the ball. I've never seen anything like that in any sport, at any level.
Nothing.
Never. The only thing that shocked me a little bit more was when John McClain came in here and said, oh, what's the big deal?
Preposterous.
I thought, John, are you serious?
I didn't
no pushback. John's my dude. Ain't no sense in pushing back. Like, but I was like, damn, really?
Well, sorry.
I think I may have pushed back.
You've been covering the league this long, and like any player, I don't care who it is, like any player, 35 yards behind the ball taking a knee, like that's not a big deal. Yeah, I'm okay. Got you. I mean, I was shocked. Yes, you may never see anything like this again.
Yeah, you may not. So your chance. Five times daily right here on Sports Radio 610 and specifically on our show, 3:45 to 4 and 4:45 to 5, your chance to win tickets to Camp Casario. Listen, I'm not going to try to tell nobody how to fan, but Astros fans, with the recent news on maybe your most important player, your concern meter should be going up. We'll discuss that next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.